you know,
okay.
So we start off doing the right thing, and then we lapse into, that hurt in the body. And what she reported to me also was everyone in the supermarket, the young, so, you know, people are relaxing now, the measures that have been put in place. And that is my concern. I'm scared. I am very scared, especially, like I said, I've been assured that I can stay until they put stay home, working from home, that is, until they put measures in place. But I can't keep my daughters from school when the school doesn't come back and do exams. That is what is scaring me. The thought that within 2 weeks, you know, that could be my reality. Then what? My mother told them she's going to get a shower curtain and put between the front seat and the back seat. They're going to sit on plastic when they get in the car. When they get home, we have, like I said, our compound is totally enclosed. Mm-hmm. So we have a back balcony that is protected from viewing ice. They got to disrobe the clothes on the back balcony before they enter the house.
So what happens if COVID doesn't? What happens if COVID doesn't go away?
That would be our reality going forward. We will have a decontamination before we can come out. I'm not prepared to do it.
Clearly, you are doing that already. I suspect what can happen is that you're going to import something that will just decontaminate you as soon as you get it.
I'm trying to find hazmat soup on the internet, and I can't find it.
Wow. That's only because they're in short supply. But when the Chinese roll out all these other things, you certainly will get a hazmat suit in another year or so.
I will do all to protect myself. And I remind the kids, too, I'm the only body in the house with an NIS card. I'm the only body in the house working.
Okay.
So if they do something...
God protect you.
They're going to suffer. Yep.
Now, this is a very interesting discussion. And it is about the lengths to which people go to protect themselves from COVID and the fear that is generated within the society.
Mm-hmm.
What are you know other people who are doing exactly that or more?
I know.
You know anybody who's doing more than you to protect themselves?
Well, I have an aunt who also has lupus, so she has not left home without at all.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there are two essential workers in her house. Her niece works at the gas station, and her nephew works at the supermarket. So when they are not home, she disinfects, and she would be outside in the general house. When they come in, she goes into her room.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so she limits her interaction with them as much as possible.
Well, one of these days you can come back and tell us after a while how it has changed your life completely. But thank you very much for sharing your experience with us. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? It's 1:26.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, Mr. Williams. How are you?
Pretty well. I listened to you today. I agree with you and Granville Phillips, Jr. in relation to the attitude of constituents and constituencies as far as the party is concerned. I agree with yourself, Mr. Phillips, that there's not that harmony within the constituency as far as the two parties are concerned. And this is what I call a real divide as far as Barbados politics is concerned. This issue of Sandy Lane, I think only a candidate or a person who wanted to be disadvantaged when election comes, would find himself in that position if he doesn't adhere to what is expected of him. For example, I believe that the vouchers, this is what I was told, that the vouchers are supposed to be spent within the constituency at the supermarkets within the constituency. For example, St. Peter, there's several supermarkets in St. Peter.
It's absolutely amazing how this information about how this thing works and that sort of thing coming from the callers. You really don't think that should come from at a different level? You should be hearing, you can hold a little piece here and a piece there.
Let me tell you so you would. You know that I always outside the door.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a tendency. Hello?
Yeah, but...
I have a tendency of knowing exactly what is likely to happen. These vouchers would be distributed to the various members of candidate party, including the leader of the opposition. The position on this exercise, I don't know if you know that there was a pending candidate last year who attempt to use that voter system and had to stop because they copied the vouchers and had him...
I don't know the details, and I don't think that is particularly relevant to the discussion.
I'm just going back to this.
No, but that's not particularly relevant to the process. And what we're discussing here is this process versus any other. You know, and
this process is easy. Let me explain to you. As I explained, that they get the supermarkets within the constituencies are the beneficiaries of the vouchers.
But that's you're taking us on a path that is not in dispute. There's no dispute whatsoever about where you will deliver the voucher and all of that. Who's the supermarket or the shop or that. It is who gives the voucher out and to whom?
All right,
what extent is it likely that it is only the people that you particularly like who will get it, those who you don't like won't get it, and the degree to which the people who really need it will ultimately get the assistance that is required? What are the checks and balances within that system? That's all it is?
I think I started by telling you that a candidate could be at a disadvantage if he does not comply with the situation of the gift. I'm saying that to say this, Mr. Ellis. As far as the voters are concerned, the candidate or the parliamentary representative will function from the electoral list. And if he functions from the electoral list, then he knows exactly that Peter Scott can't get his and Peter Scott at all.
All right, Mark. All right, Mark. You are satisfied with the system. Okay? Fine. Remember this. In every discussion that we have, you're always going to find arguments for and arguments against. All right, so I am not so sure that I can agree with you that this is a perfect way, this is the best way of dealing with it. I don't share that view. And but having said that, I have to appreciate that we don't all see things the same way, and that's what makes a program like this vibrant, because we don't necessarily agree. All right, down to brass tacks. This person writes here that information on how the vouchers are to be distributed was in the newspaper. The recipients are also supposed to take a photo with the vouchers. And their initial thought was that the trust is asking for a lot in the distribution of the vouchers. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, David.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm proud to say you're doing a good job. But my concern is, this morning, I leave here to go to the polyclinic to collect my mom's medication. Mm-hmm. I say the girls down there, because I'm a security officer too, so I can say I'm doing a good job too. But the officer is still applying.
Radio,
okay.
I can all right,
no, don't worry them, mommy, please.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, David. It's a mystery officers at the front.
Well, be careful. Hold on.
Yes, please.
Because there are three officers and only three. I don't want you to speak about them in such a way that people are going to go out there, sir, and, you know, identify them in a negative way.
No.
What's the general concern that you have?
Well, I mean, I asked one a question this morning. Well, they're saying that the nurses, when they wait, people is out there. Yes, I understand. I come and find people out there. But what they should do is, if the nurse is in there to take your temperature, they should come and let the people know that no nurses is out there to meeting or something. I could say fair, but they did not do that. Okay, so I just will find myself, I just will ask one, well, you could go down there and see if they got any person in the pharmacy that I could come and get my mommy medication. She look at this, sweetheart, you do not know who you're talking to. I'm a same officer like you. Because I am not in uniform, you should not talk to me like that. You know the person had an attitude. So, you know, when I get inside now, the next officer now come and start calling the numbers. And I tell them, thank you very much. I get my mother medication and I say thank you. This is not fair. They need to speak to
Isn't that something that you could take up with whoever is the supervisor of the people or the person that you're talking about? I mean, rather than come here, the first way of dealing with that is to deal with it internally.
It is better to do it internally.
When you've gone through the process internally and it fails, then I say to you, fine. Well, then they only leave you with a few other options after that, which is to come and speak about it, you know?
I understand that, but when you call the government places, you can't get through. So
but you're on an inside track. You support, as a security officer yourself, assuming that you work for government too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you should be able to go to the right place to get that information to them, and you still have to do it, even though you've raised it here.
I still have to do it, yes, please, because it's not right that you speak to people like that. It's not right. And I just only want them to hear, because since I call them and they get through, once they head over the security guard here, they will call and break that person.
This is not the preferred way to deal with it, though. The better way to deal with these things is you work behind the scenes first. If it fails, then you come to brass tacks, because it is if you were in a similar position, let's say for whatever reason somebody else felt that you had mistreated them or didn't handle them well or whatever, I think you would prefer that it be done that way first, right?
Yes, please.
Right.
Yes, please.
So that's what I encourage all the time. Whether it is this or any other issue, you work behind the scenes to get it sorted out. And if that fails, then you come to us and we'll see whether there's a need to help you or not. Okay?
Well, I'm so sorry, but I need to say that when I get to the heads, I'm going to let them know. But I definitely want someone to speak to them, tell them where to speak to customers. Right. We are customers. That's why I'm working. I'm still a customer. Okay. Need to respect the customers.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, I'm a first-time caller for your program.
Yes.
Two questions I want to know. With the common entrance, saying that they have 3 new COVID cases, is this going to hamper the children going back to school? Because I believe that we have community spread. And the other question is,
what is your understanding of community spread?
That, like, you didn't travel and you get in contact with people that have the COVID-19.
That's your understanding. My understanding was that they couldn't trace how you got it.
Okay.
They say it is not community spread as much as they're calling it community transfer or something. You transferred, but from one person to the other in the community. Anyhow, I listened to this talk about community spread for a couple of weeks, and I see the gymnastics that seem to go with what is called community spread. But average people, that's why I ask you, what is your interpretation? And therefore, from there, you can tell me what your fear is.
Well, my fear is that children that have to do the common entrance, that have to go back to school from next month. Some of them have asthma. Some is cancer children. Some have allergies. If the schools is going to use more than 2 teachers to do the classes with the children, put them in all the classes at the primary schools.
Well, I think you would appreciate that the ministry is really facing a major headache.
Yes,
when
I
it
know
comes
that.
To getting the children educated in Barbados. Some people, most of them, they're encouraging that they go into online learning. And when you do that, then you're going to have another issue, which is who's going to look after them in the absence of parents, especially young children?
Yes, of adults.
Right. If you put the primary school children together, then it is going to be a big problem about social distancing and trying to stop them from mixing up with each other in a way that could cause the COVID to be taken back home and that sort of thing. They really, really have a big challenge on their hands. And you can anticipate that this one is going to create a situation where, you remember when we had all these people rushing to go to the supermarket? And now how it has settled down. But it's likely that we're going to have these teething problems with the introduction of this approach that they're looking at. So,
well, I think that the ones that is 11 have mm-hmm. more understanding about the social distancing, mm-hmm. but it is the younger ones that you're more concerned about, because when they see their friend, they're going to want to run and play, and that's a big concern.
Well, I suspect that you will have issues in both age groups. While in principle, I think you expect that the younger child will have more of a difficulty. At the same time, even the older children can find themselves slipping up and that sort of thing. So this is not an easy problem to solve at all. And
yes,
we wait to see. The government is going to really require your feedback and your input along the way as parents, based upon what you've seen and how you believe they may be able to modify the situation, you know?
Yeah, but it's not only going to be like for the 11 plus children when they go back out for the 4 weeks. It's like when school open back, the whole country in general, with the school children. So all of us as parents, grandparents, the whole nation, everybody got to look for a solution and work together and don't look to pull it down. That is my take on it. My other question is, with the trust fund from Sandy Lynn,
uh-huh.
Why are they requiring so much criteria? If they give you money to distribute, did they have it directed for a specific supermarket? You have to have your ID. You have to do this and do that. That is too much.
It's too much? Have you had any of it?
No, but I know people that have it.
And they're complaining?
Yes.
So it's just to produce the ID and they're complaining about that?
Well, I
what
else
are complaining about?
To say that they should be able to go to a supermarket of their choice.
Of
that
their
that
choice.
Particular supermarket is expensive.
Okay. So
and
choice is an important part of it.
Pardon?
Choice is a very important part of it. But they're opposed to having to produce the photograph too, right? The ID.
Yes.
Well, they don't understand that that's to make sure that...
That you is the individual.
Yeah, because you know what can happen in this society.
Yes.
People can be pretty dishonest, so you gotta be able to put some checks and balances inside there. So those are the only two issues that you hear people complaining about?
Yes, please.
Okay.
And thank you for your time and keep up the good job.
Thanks for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome. You are on the air. You're one of the last three callers that we're going to get in today. Of course, that depends upon how long you stay on the air. Hello. Welcome.
Hello, Mr. Ellie.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
Genevieve.
Same to you, yes.
There was a little issue last week with persons complaining that the regulars is calling, they can't get in. I see that as easy to fix for y'all, man. This program go all over the world. A second line would just good. Be good.
Oh, what, a second line?
Yeah.
But you know how many lines we got? You think we only have one line in here?
Like all this.
You got several lines coming in here.
I probably mean number then, so that they can get in, a special number that the new callers can get in and see how it works. Just try it and see, so that it was the persons who really want to get on, the new person will be able to get through and see how that works.
Everything depends upon the issue that is being discussed. Mm. You know? There are days when you will find that this program is dominated by new callers.
Mm.
There are days when you will find that it has been dominated by the regulars, regulars who like to talk more the politics and stuff like that. Mm. My own observation is that, especially over this COVID period, a lot of new voices have come to the fore.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Give people the freedom.
And they have, and therefore, depending upon what is motivating people, you are likely to see more of a push by first-timers and people who do not regularly call the program. Those people make more of an effort.
Yeah, she was really very frustrated.
Who is that?
The lady that called last week, so she couldn't get on.
People get frustrated for all types of reasons. And a lot depends upon what is being discussed at that point, how you might have a caller on the line, and you're with that person for a reasonably long period because you want to explore something that is going on. So in the meantime, other callers can't get through, or those who get through have to wait 30 minutes or 40 minutes or whatever.
45 sometimes.
Sometimes 45. And you know what really bowls me over? After waiting 45 minutes to get on the air, sometimes then what they have to say is meaningless. It happens like that.
A shorter time. But what I really call about, not to hold you up, the issue with the doctors and so on.
Yeah.
After the back and forth, what?
Uh-huh.
So I got to get this thing sorted out.
After the back and forth, what?
You know?
Well, we will wait to hear from the relevant authorities how they're going to deal with it.
Definitely, because I understand the point of Dr. Walshman, and I also understand the point of not having COVID patients at QEH. But there got to be some solution. We still got down St. Lucie, and as they said that this service is going to be on at least 2 years plus, so maybe they can do something down there and put everything down there or something.
You know that has been rejected, because when you want ICU, you want ICU all in one place, and you don't want to have... That's the argument that I've heard. That's why certain things, only certain things are in St. Lucie.
Listen, you see...
Bear this in mind, huh? Distance matters. Distance matters.
If somebody need an operation and they know that they have
to... If you've got an operation, distance matters.
No part of Barbados ain't too far for us to have to...
You need to do this. If you really want to understand some of these issues, you need to hear from the people who are the specialists in the field. Anybody who is going to make decisions that will exclude the opinions of the specialists is in danger of making a major error. And therefore, that's important.
I talk about COVID patients.
COVID patients, any other patient, it doesn't matter. I mean, whether you're dealing with COVID or non-COVID, you still have to make sure that you get the best possible advice when you're making your decisions, you know?
Everybody can really try to help in this area and get it sorted out, because we don't have the WHO said that they say it may not even go away.
Okay.
So we don't know how far it's actually going to end. So they will have some area where they need to be quarantined for everything, surgery, whatever. They don't have to be elaborate hospital like the QEH, but they need to actually do something.
Will have to be to a high standard.
Right.
If you, in other words, you don't want to leave any patient at a disadvantage.
Right,
that is the critical issue here. All right. Yeah. All right, we got to run. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
I'm joining the list of new callers today.
Okay.
Out of COVID, there are a number of positive lessons to be learned. And we all know that going forward, life will not be the same. We can't continue to do things the way we're accustomed to doing it. We have to change our mindset. We have to do things differently. And I say that against the background of a comment I heard today by the National Union of Public Workers as it relates to the forced savings as suggested by the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
For too long, we as a people have been living from paycheck to paycheck, and through no fault of anybody else but our own. We work for $500, and we go and get $600 in debt, right? And that is a mindset that we need to change. Now, rather than telling her people in the NUPW, people that they represent, that this is a good idea to start saving so that when we get in a crisis like the one that we're in, we don't have to depend on welfare, we don't have to depend on handouts, we don't have to depend on government giving us checks to cash at different places that we don't want to, and all that. But we can depend on our savings. Mr. Ellis, all it takes is a little bit of sacrifice. If you're accustomed to buying 4 snack boxes a month, buy one, or 2 or 3. If you're accustomed to going to 4 fets a month, go to 3 and save one. But we cannot continue to teach our people, our children, and our grandchildren, that we must get in debt. We have to find a way to save and save ourselves from what some of us are facing today. And rather than the person who was making the comment that Barbadians will not be able to service their debt, if this is they're seeing it as a pay cut, we must see things. We must try to see things in a positive light. And people like me, who's a nobody, I can't convince the public about this. It is people who are in public life, people who are leaders, like the person who said what they said today, to start to help people change their mindset. We can't continue like this. I don't know what you think.
Well, you tell me exactly how you want them to change their mindset. As it relates to the comment which was made about the forced savings.
Yeah. She's saying that Barbadians wouldn't be able to service their debt, that it would be a pay cut. Rather than saying to people, you can still service your debt if you make some adjustment to the way you spend. You can still service your debt, and at the same time, you're having savings. You're getting savings so that when we find ourselves in a crisis such as the one that we're in now, we don't have to depend on anybody. We have savings. So I'm saying that we have to change our mindset in the way we spend our money.
It depends upon what position you are in, though. I mean, if you're one of these people, paycheck to paycheck, then the forced savings concept, as long as it eats into what money is available to you on a monthly basis, you're going to be in trouble. And there are a lot of people out there like that, you know.
I agree. But I'm saying that going forward, we need to change that. We need to change that thinking.
Well, you know, that's a big topic. That's a big topic in terms of how is the society structured to help you change that. There are many people who believe that the society is structured in such a way that elections come and the big players finance elections, and then after that, they expect and get their payback. And no matter what the government may give to the smaller person, at the end of the day, the government's strings are being manipulated in such a way that ultimately the small person remains disadvantaged and the big player continues to dominate and manipulate. So when you're talking about this, you got to look at the structures, how things are built. You've heard people complain, for instance, about the difficulty in getting financing on the one hand, and then on the other, you hear how people who get financing don't meet their obligations and that sort of thing. They don't pay attention to the business and all of that. So you have complaints on both sides. How are you going to deal with those issues to achieve the objective that you want to see us achieve?
This is why I'm saying that people like me, who's a nobody, I can't make much of an impact. But people who are leaders of trade unions and other big organizations, they are the ones who need to talk to the people, particularly the people at the bottom level of the ladder. Yeah. Right? You have in your hands to do something for yourself.
In Barbados, the trade unions also need to say, what are they doing to create a greater sense of empowerment for themselves and their workers?
Correct.
It should not be a trade union that sits down and relies on just the fees from members is threatened. Its future is threatened if it is not able to look at investments and that sort of thing as well. And I don't know, I don't hear much discussion about that side of the trade union movement in Barbados. It is very narrow, and it makes it seem... Pardon?
And unfortunate.
Right, so the question is, to what extent does COVID-19 create an environment in which the trade union movement itself must review how it is structured and how it will go forward? You know, that to me is a most important discussion that should be taking place. And they need really to be put in a position where they can discuss with their publics, you know, how they see the future. They should not be left out. This is Down to Brass Tacks. And that's the end of today's program. I want to thank you all very much, and thanks to Michelle Brathwaite, technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.